Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, and I'm now joined by Scott Klinger, who is one of the authors of the report published by the Institute for Policy Studies called Unnecessary Austerity, Unnecessary Shutdown. Scott Klinger is an associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and the policy director for Wealth for the Common Good. He is a chartered financial analyst and previously worked as a security analyst and portfolio manager for Walden Asset Management. Welcome to Background Briefing, Scott Klinger.
Thanks so much, Ian.
And we were talking earlier with Randall Ray about the deficit hoax and how the Republicans are essentially controlling the narrative and that the Democrats haven't created a narrative. Do you think there is, given the failure of our political leaderships, do you think there is a way to, since the public are being gouged at the pump because of speculation in commodities, it doesn't make any sense to cut funding and spending on an anemic economy, which should be stimulated, not reduced at a time which is likely to cause a double dip in inflation, a double dip recession. All of the writing's on the wall that these guys in Washington are not just screwing us, they're screwing the economy. Where's the pushback going to come?
Well, we wrote this report to really fill in some of the blanks of history of how we got to this point. And the point of this report is that taxes have really been shifted off of the wealthiest Americans and off of the largest corporations onto the middle class, really over the last 50 years, but especially over the last 20 or 25 years. And so the revenues has not at all been on the table in this discussion about our budget, and we really think it needs to be because hundreds of billions of dollars can be raised by just restoring some of the tax giveaways that have been given to the wealthiest and the largest corporations.
And you argue in your report, Unnecessary Austerity, Unnecessary Shutdown, that if you just taxed the rich fairly and also made the corporations pay their fair share, you could raise $4 trillion within a decade. And that would be a huge way to solving the problems, which, by the way, I think it's worth noting, surely, Scott Klinger, that the two Bushes, Bush Jr. and Sr. and Ronald Reagan, are responsible for half of the entire national debt run up in the entire course of the Republic, and George W. Bush was responsible for one third. So you don't hear that when all these deficit hawks are crying about how the United States is turning into Greece.
And what President Reagan and the most recent President Bush have in common is that the reason both of those debts went soaring was because of large tax cuts for the wealthy.
And why is the debate in this country, though, shifted to this notion that we're taxed too much, which is the excuse they give to reduce the tax for the super wealthy, when the debate should be about what you get back for your taxes, surely?
For sure. And one of the reasons we wrote this report was to really look at the historical record and say, you know, are the wealthy really taxed too much? And so we looked at the period 1961 to 2011, that 50-year period. And what we found was that in 1961, the people with incomes over $1 million in 2011 terms adjusted for inflation paid 43% of their income in federal income taxes. This year, they'll only pay 23%. So they're saving, they're pocketing 20% of their income that used to go to support the society they live in. The situation is even worse with corporations. Large corporations used to pay more than 47% of their income in federal corporate income taxes. Last year and this year, they'll pay about 11%. So they're pocketing 36% of their income that used to go to support the services they depend on for their earnings. And the other thing that we haven't really talked about is it shifts onto small businesses. Small business owners pay taxes at their owner's individual tax rate, so usually typically 35% or so. And so they're really getting all the things they face in terms of competing with big box stores and other large entities. They also have to pay for those companies' tax burdens often.
And it seems to me that you have to add to this the idea that we have starting with Reagan, but certainly accelerating under George W. Bush, created a kind of society for inheritors and investors. And so much of what goes on in Wall Street is unproductive in terms of Main Street. Wall Street's about extracting wealth, not creating wealth for Main Street and for small business. So you have this situation where all of this speculative money now on Wall Street, as our previous guest indicated, is driving up the price of basic commodities like food and gasoline.
Absolutely.
To no productive end.
Right. Well, one of the prescriptions we call for in this report is a financial transaction tax, which would be a small, essentially a sales tax on stock and bond purchases, commodity purchases, currency transactions. It would exempt small investors investing in the stock market. It would exempt people engaging in currency transactions to go on vacation to Europe, et cetera. But the UK already has this tax in place. It's not hurt their financial markets. And not only would it control some of the speculation you were just talking about, but it would raise about $150 billion a year for the Treasury. So that's another idea, another way that Wall Street can help share some of this burden.
Well, I suppose it's worth figuring out where people can put their money, since real estate is out because of what happened with the subprime crash, and apparently the choices now are the stock market or gambling in commodities. You would think, though, that in terms of the purpose of the mercantile exchange, that they would restrict the commodity gambling to the end users. So in other words, people, you know, oil refineries should be the ones that are speculating or hedging,
right? Or airlines, or people that use the
product. So couldn't there be some law passed to get all of this $50-60 billion of unproductive money? That's because we know it's eventually going to crash,
right?
To get it out.
Well, one of the things, I think that's one of the ways tax policy has been used, is to discourage unproductive behavior. We have taxes on, alcohol and cigarettes, in part to raise money, but in part to discourage excess consumption of those things. And the same thing could be done with speculative transactions using the tax system. If you're buying jet fuel, or if you're buying for an airline, you're buying stocks, you know, with a 5 or 10 or 20 year horizon, a very small transaction tax isn't going to discourage you from making that investment. You won't even notice it. But if you're trading, you know, flipping your portfolio every minute or every day, then that transaction tax is going to be a speed bump in the road to your speculative behavior.
So, in other words, we have Goldman Sachs making a big chunk of their profits from these high-speed computer trades that they do,
right,
and that they've actually moved their computers physically so that they're right next to the stock exchange, so that
right,
they get that millisecond...
Taking advantage of the speed of light.
Exactly. And that is not just unproductive, it's also totally shuts out everybody else from the market. I mean,
right,
this is a... Doesn't this look like a rigged casino?
All the rules are tipping to favor those that already have wealth.
Right.
Whether it's the lower taxes on capital gains that we see, and that's one of the big reasons why the rich pay lower taxes, is because their capital gains only pay a 15% tax rate, which is lower than most middle-class families pay. So Warren Buffett's very troubled when he says that he pays less of his income in taxes than his administrative assistant, and it's because most of his income comes in capital gains. So that's another loophole that we need to close, is to tax capital gains as ordinary income and begin to restore some of the balance that rewards work and not just speculative behavior.
Again, I'm speaking with Scott Klinger, co-author of the new report, Unnecessary Austerity, Unnecessary Shutdown. So, Scott, do you think that the president is going to talk about this on Wednesday? He's supposed to be doing a major address on taxes and on tax reform.
Right. We've heard that he's going to bring up that the rich need to be taxed more, be able to pay more of their fair share. And so we're anxious to hear what he has to say and hope that he will stand up strongly about this. And if we're going to address things like spending, we need to also look at the revenue side of the budget.
But isn't what you've sort of been saying, or at least hinting at, Scott, that systemically we have changed the economy entirely and the mechanism of capitalism to favor the oligarchs and to shut out in any kind of fair and competitive way the average investor?
Right. Well, we had a much more equal society in 1960. For sure, we had some major social problems pertaining to racial disadvantage and the Vietnam War and other sorts of things going on. But in terms of economic inequality, it was much less than it is today. And one of the reasons was the tax system, because the highest tax rate was 91%, the personal income tax rate. The corporate income tax rate was close to 50%. So there was no incentive to make $100 million because you only got to keep a dime of every dollar you made above an equivalent of $3 million today. So we didn't have these inflation things. We, you know, one of the, you talked about speculation earlier, but when we have rampant inequality, we have people that are owning 3 and 4 and 5 houses. That was part of the bubble too.
I recall John McCain didn't even remember how many houses he owned.
How many houses he had, exactly. And so that bids up the prices, right? You see these places where the price goes up very, very highly, and people that actually live and work in those communities can't afford to live there because, you know, often sometimes people coming in on weekends have the weekend places that bid up the properties and make it unaffordable for the average worker.
So do you think that a government of the people, for the people, and by the people is possible, or how do we go back to that?
Well, I think the issue of money in politics is an enormous issue that we need to remain totally focused on, because Congress is doing the bidding of those who pay for their elections, and sad to say, I think it's true of both parties. And so until the people demand that we have caps on spending, that corporations don't have free speech rights, I think we're going to go down this path, unfortunately.
Well, I thank you for talking with us today, Scott Klinger.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Scott Klinger, who is one of the authors of the report published by the Institute for Policy Studies called Unnecessary Austerity, Unnecessary Shutdown. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with a scholar, Middle East scholar, who will give a rebuttal to yesterday's argument by Juan Cole in favor of intervention in Libya.